and welcome to It's the Vibe, a podcast produced by Talent International and centered around no BS conversations with business leaders and innovators digging into all facets of company culture. I'm your host, Ian Tyler. I'm Talent's Group Chief Strategy Officer. So why are we doing this? At Talent, our vision is empowering people to build a better world of work for all. We want to support and educate businesses, big and small, and how they can do their part. We want to share insights, stories, real-life examples, and experiences from business leaders and experts in employee engagement, communication, DE&I, and a whole lot more. For today's episode, we're going to be talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'm delighted to be joined by the Managing Director of Microsoft New Zealand, Vanessa Sorensen. But before I welcome her, allow me to tell you a little bit about Vanessa. Vanessa's got more than two decades experience in the New Zealand tech sector, having worked through the ranks of Spark over an 18-year period and then moving into Microsoft in New Zealand in 2017 in a role as Enterprise Director. And then over the past year and a half has really kind of moved into the role of Managing Director for New Zealand. Vanessa leads diversity and inclusion initiatives to really look at improving gender and cultural diversity in technology and leadership, particularly through education. So Vanessa, welcome.
Kia ora. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, thank you. I have to say, I've really been looking forward to this conversation. And the thing about our discussion that I'd really like to start off with, I've learned a lot about you just through some research, and I'd love the opportunity to get our listeners to really understand your story. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Vanessa Sorensen?
Well, where do you want me to start, Ian? What a loaded question. Look, I was born in New Zealand, in fact, West Auckland, so a real Westie, and had the typical two kids, mum and dad, wonderful home, boat, two cars. And when they split up, when I was about the age of six, life really changed. And that's pretty normal in the 70s, you know, lots of marriages did break up. But it was really the start of a very transient lifestyle for my brother and I. And that was when we first moved into our first caravan park, Tui Glen Caravan Park in, in West Auckland. And I remember social services being involved because my mother and stepfather decided it would be a great idea to have an adventure in Australia. And I suppose that's where my two worlds kind of really shaped who I am today, because seeing things that most children wouldn't at a really, really young age, and I mean moving around a lot of poverty, no money, and going to countless schools. So we just drifted. We literally drifted from place to place. In fact, for one component, we were homeless. And I think it shaped me. I really, as a young person, decided that this wouldn't be, I wouldn't become a statistic. I was actually going to change my life.
Wow. And so how does one go from that particular background to being the managing director of Microsoft New Zealand? Because that's a ride. That's a ride.
Yeah, look, I remember being about 12 and living in Woree Caravan Park in Cairns, of all places. And I just had an epiphany that I wanted more for my life. You see, leaving New Zealand, and my father had a beautiful villa in Mount Eden. I always thought he was a multimillionaire. You know, when you're the kid that's really, really poor, I had this rich father that I just completely idolized in a strange way. I hadn't seen him for so long. And that's what I wanted for myself. And I remember visualizing it. I was going to own the villa. I was going to have the picket fence. I was going to have the incredible husband. And I was going to make something of myself. And I started writing it down. I mean, people call it journaling, but I really started creating goals for myself. And that's when I got my first job, a bakery. And every second weekend through the drive-through bakery at 13, I worked and I saved and I saved, and I knew that one day I would get out and I would come back to New Zealand, and I did that as a 17-year-old.
Wow.
Incredible. It's very inspiring. As I said to you briefly before we started our recording, like just learning more about the people that you interact with, but then truly learning more about your real authentic story, which is, you know, exceptionally vulnerable. And you've put yourself out there like that. I totally commend you, because that's one of these masks that people wear. You always get a little bit of something from somebody, but to truly be totally open and embracing that, but also now more importantly, using your platform for the betterment of other people, I think is incredibly inspirational. So thank you. I think it's a wonderful thing. I really do. So given our conversation is about diversity, equity and inclusion, and the story and the journey that you've had, I think there's no one really better to talk to. There's an obvious thing for me to kind of ask you around in terms of, you know, women in technology, which is a very important thing to discuss, but it's a very obvious thing for us to discuss. Yeah. We recently conducted a webinar, which was a global webinar, where we were asking the question of women in tech, mm-hmm. Are we there yet? You know, the outcome of that, in a very, very high summary, was no, not really.
No.
We're kind of not there yet. What's your view on that?
We are so not there yet. And, you know, I look at females still today. I have got a gorgeous daughter who's 15. And I say, why not tech? And it just doesn't inspire her. And I think it comes back to our education system. Mm. I think it's still very, a lot of our females are leaning into still, you know, nurses and teachers, which is incredible. Mm. It just isn't the passion in younger kids. And so I am trying to do a lot of that via the platform within Microsoft, because we are still fundamentally very underrepresented. I was fortunate landing in a role with sales. I could use all the things that I love, which is interacting with people. But when you even look at the scale of technical females, it is, the stats are shocking. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, all of us, especially females, I just wish we linked arms more and supported one another.
Yeah.
And showcase that actually this is an amazing career. And that is something that I try and do all the time. And I don't look like your standard techie by any means. No. And I am seriously not technical. But tech is just so phenomenal. It's about business transformation. It's about seeing things, creating things like you could never have imagined. Mm. And that's the world that I want our next generation to consider stepping into. And the pay is phenomenal. So, you know, lean into something. You've still got to work that 40, 50 hours a week. Go where the pay's good. So I constantly try and sort of break down those barriers, because it's sales, it's marketing, it's technical, yes, but it's teaching, it's learning, it's so many things that I think, sadly, our system just isn't providing that guiding light for so many.
Mm, yeah, I agree with you. I too have a daughter, 17, and I also have said about, you know, luckily she's interested in creative arts and film and television and production and directing and that type of thing. The irony of the situation for teenagers these days is they're all glued to a device. They're all using apps. They've all got an opinion of what looks good and what works well and what's easy to use. But yet, user experience designers or coders, software engineers, developers, it just doesn't register on the radar. There's the irony of it.
Yeah.
Really interesting. So tell me, I'm really intrigued, you know, given that you were talking around and education is something that I know that you're passionate about, but within Microsoft, what are Microsoft doing to really move the dial internally, but also through different services, products and ventures, externally as well? What are Microsoft doing
to really move the dial on diversity, inclusion, and equity with as a business?
Ian, I just see us walking the talk. I've never seen and felt such a movement in an organization before. You know, I think in my past career, it was something I did outside of work where it's absolutely part of my full day, but in everybody's full day. And I say that it starts with inclusive design. It starts with our teams in Redmond who, for testers, they bring people in with accessibility needs. If we can, you know, if we can design and develop products for everybody, then that to me is what inclusivity is. But it's more the culture locally and globally where we really support some core pillars. And one that I led when I first joined Microsoft was our Māori and Pacifica pillar. But I must admit, when I joined Microsoft, I said, so where are they all?
Right.
And there weren't any. And so we have really, really lent in to, well, we have to change the way we interview. You know, our whānau want us to meet with them. A sign of respect is looking down. We had to unlearn all of the unconscious biasness around how we were taught to interview people. Mm-hmm. And females as well, Ian. I've got to admit, I've been one of those females that was offered a role. And I said to my leader at the time, are you sure you don't want to go out to market and see if there's someone better?
Right. Okay.
Who does that?
Yeah, female self-sabotage. Exactly. You're so right. You're so right.
Well, you have to change the way you look, the way you even put roles out there. You know, we no longer are looking for that education of universities. In fact, I want every person that goes for a role with us. I don't want a photo of them. I don't want their name. And I want them to talk about what really fills their soul. That's the type of people that we want to employ. You can teach people the tech. You can teach people the how. But come with the right attitude. And let's face it, our Māori and Pacifica are our kapa haka, our waka makers, our, you know, incredible leaders. But they just don't visualize themselves in these types of roles. And we want to change that at Microsoft. And we are. We certainly are.
Wow. That's, I mean, absolutely amazing. For our listeners that may be tuning in from different parts of the world, because our podcast series of is talking to people in the UK, the US, Germany, Australia as well. Can you provide some context for us around some of the indigenous language that you've used there around them, just to provide some context, because it's such a rich, deep heritage that I know every New Zealander is proud of. And it isn't just indigenous, you know, tribes that use this language. It really is part of the DNA of the corporate as well as the community style of engagement within New Zealand. So would you mind sharing some of that context?
Yeah, I look, you know, our indigenous Māori in particular is something I'm just so proud of. You know, when I was young and living in West Auckland, my best friends were Māori and taught me the incredible fulfillness of the language and the song and the traditions. Mm. And I even in my lifetime, Ian, I've seen Māori have land taken off them, you know, really a lot of badness that isn't what should be. So the role that I believe all corporates in Aotearoa are doing now is diversity inclusive is not about the tick box. It is about diversity of thought of everybody. And our Indigenous people are phenomenal. And I have had to learn a lot. I have spent a lot of time on marae's, in particular with Ngāti Whātua and Orake, to see how they see the world, which is through the elders, it is through the language. And in fact, one of the proudest moments, Ian, we've just released Windows 11, and we had installed into that globally is the Māori macrons, which is the way that you write in te reo. Little old New Zealand did that. We launched a few years ago the te reo version, the Māori Minecraft called Ngā Motu. And we also launched in New Zealand, te reo is the 67th official language in Microsoft's Translator Hub. We're walking the talk. We're a tiny nation, but we are saying that this needs to be. We want to be part of it. Yeah, it matters. Yeah. And so my advice is learn more about your Indigenous bring more into your workforce, because boy, oh boy, the creativity, the diversity of thought is where we're going to really change the dial.
Mm. Do you think, I mean, you've told us some amazing thing that's going on there with Microsoft. Do you think there is more of a real effort, a deliberate attempt to change and break what has essentially been old mindsets around this? Because you're absolutely right. Many businesses think we need a D&I policy or a program. Tick, we've changed the visually the landscape of our own organization looks like. So therefore we are, in inverted commas, doing DE&I.
Yeah.
And to be really frank, I call horseshit on that.
Same.
Do you think that the conversation more broadly is now starting to change?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I really would say, Ian, it's only been in the last 4 years. I felt that. I was wielded out as the diversity hire because I was a female. Oh, God, it felt more than horseshit, to be honest. Yeah. And I think it's got to be about the data. Like, I don't necessarily think quotas and things, but you've got to have the data. You've got to look at the way you're walking the talk. And I think the tick box theory, people feel it, Ian. You can walk into an environment and you know if it's not genuine. And, you know, the amount of things that we are doing, most of it would never, people just wouldn't know. And seeing the pillars and the council leaders within Microsoft taking this to the next level, not through any PR story, but what is most important, because they're seeing the impact that it has. Mm. And I do believe that more and more corporates are getting behind that. You know, we've partnered with an incredible organization called Tupatoa, and they are assisting us with a helping of Māori and Pacifica to come into our corporate worlds, because they aren't that nice. They aren't that welcoming, and they are quite off-putting, to be honest. And so, you know, we have to support our youngsters who are coming in, so they are mentored, they are supported, they know that they can be their full authentic self. And I think that's been a shift and a change in the last few years. It certainly hasn't been throughout my career.
Yeah. So, which is interesting. I think about companies who are crafting programs that are more performative as opposed to authentic.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. They'll get spotted from a million miles. You'll be able to see that because, to your point, change comes from within, and change needs to be from everybody. So it's cultural, it becomes habitual, and therefore it just is a thing. It's just how you do it. It's how you walk the talk, to use your language. Do you think it matters to all companies? I feel that there are businesses that we engage with across multiple different sectors that, you know, that you could be working in a heavy asset industry such as mining, or you could be a law firm, and they might want to have diversity and equity and inclusion, but there are certain roles, based on certain conversations I've had, that, you know, that just wouldn't be right for this particular type of person.
Even that comment, this typical type of person, I'm an example of absolutely not a typical type of person, uneducated, high school dropout at 16 and running Microsoft. I think we have to change our lens around this stuff, but we also have to open doors. So one of the things that we've done is the partnership with Tupatoa is we made a decision that the interns we were hiring that year would all be Māori and Pacifica. And we were going to lean in, and we were going to help, and we were going to learn. And I was so fortunate. I got the most incredible intern. Her name's Venus. She's from Gizzy. She's a proud Māori girl. And she found it tough, Ian. It wasn't easy joining a company like Microsoft, high achievers, really technical people. It was a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
That would have been the same for any young starter straight out of university. And I'm proud to say she now has a full-time role with us at Microsoft New Zealand that she earned herself. And in fact, you know, I'll never forget when she was offered the contract and rang me and said, wow, is this what I'm going to be paid? And I said, you deserve every cent of that. Now you go back to your community in Gizzy and you be the person that they do a ticker tape parade for, because you should be proud you've worked hard for this. That's how we change communities, one person at a time. But we have to give it a shot. We've got to go and look in those areas and say to those people, you know what? You can and you will, and we're going to help you.
Yeah, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Well, what is it that businesses that may be listening to this right now, leaders who are either starting out companies, we work with some really interesting, exciting scale-up businesses that have got their first 50 hires, got their seed funding, and they're going to that next stage and are deliberately thinking about setting up their company with the right foundational pillars around the way that they have flexibility, the way that they support, you know, mothers returning to work or flexible work programs specifically for maternity leave, but thinking about having a DE&I at the cornerstone of their strategy. They're really deliberately thinking about wanting to ensure that they do these types of things and do them fundamentally as they build and scale their business, that sets them up for the future. That becomes very deliberate, but also very authentic. So what could some of these companies do you think, to support Indigenous people specifically within technology? What is it that you think are things that they could do or learn or even explore that would enable them to attract more Indigenous people specifically in the roles of tech?
Great question. I think it comes down to that word being deliberate. Honestly, it's, you've got to go fishing where the people are and encourage and delight and inspire. And you've got to be willing to take risks if it's seen as a risk. You know, in New Zealand, and if ever there's a year during COVID, our borders are closed. We're going to have a tech shortage. So even that, now is the time. And we're doing a lot with our partner community. You know, hats off to the likes of Datacom, who just saying, we're all in, we will take a punt. In fact, we're partnering with other educational institutes where adults can go back to school, get certified for 3 months, and therefore decide, you know what, I could go for that tech role. And back to what would my advice be? Look around. Have you got a diverse team? And if you haven't, what are you going to do about it? And I think it's not just a plan on a page, it's about being deliberate. And that's what we had to do. You know, as you said right at the start, women are still fundamentally underrepresented, are Indigenous, but all walks of life, accessibility as well. We are also missing out on a massive catchment of folk that can do different roles. They may not want to come into the office. Well, we've proven you can work from home. It is gone are the 9 to 5 days sitting at your desk and that looking like performance. We now have to balance this out as what works for the individual. You know, that person that actually going for a run at 10 in the morning works for them. Yeah. And so we have to trust people. We can't put everybody in a certain box and hope for a different outcome. So for me, is take risks. Scrap your old business plan around what great looks like, because it ain't going to work anymore. And I think you've just got to give a shot, and you've got to put support structures around people. Because I know from my own career, Ian, imposter syndrome, feeling not good enough. When you spiral, it's tough to get back out again. So you have to put the guardrails around anybody. So my other piece of advice is talk about it, more storytelling, more about what I'm doing. You know, I only started sharing my story 4 or 5 years ago because I was worried that if people found out, what would happen? Would I be fired? Would I be missing out on that next role? But actually, it's so much incredible sharing stories for others. And then they go, wow, if that person could do it, so could I. Yeah. So that's what I would say to leaders today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so inspirational to be that way. Let's think then, if there are leaders out there, and I've had this conversation with somebody else in the context of wanting to deliberately hire people from a non-traditional background, let's call it, which is the wrong language to use anyway.
Yeah.
And then they have been told by the organization, strategically take the risk Yeah. Lean in, take the risk. Yeah. But then that person is measured based on the performance of the individuals that they bring into the organization. And through an interview process, there are things in place which want to see demonstrated track record of performing in this role previously, so therefore they can replicate that success or experience and add immediate value. Because what that is strategically and aspirationally, the business wants to do one thing, but the actual and deliberate notion of the hiring manager taking the punt on that, you need, you know, it takes the village to raise the child. Do you see enough of that happening? Because I think there is definitely the right strategic boardroom conversation going on about doing this. But then does the business feel like they've got the authority and they are supported enough to actually bring someone in from a completely different walk of life, and you back the attitude and the attitude rather than the experience?
And that is such a big question, Ian. Look, all I would say is everyone has to walk the talk, and it's got to be led from the top down. Like, if you, in anything, if you feel unsupported and that taking that risk is going to hurt you, of course you're not going to do it. So, but I would suggest that any middle manager or anyone be the person that's willing to go and say, why not? You know, there's always got to be one person that starts the dance, right? Be the lone dancer. Like, and guess what? Then people follow. So be that person. You know, I would rather people do that, take the punt, and actually say, what lesson did I learn if it didn't work? And 9 times out of 10, Ian, it will be the support you didn't wrap around that person. Any person that fails or isn't, you know, fit for purpose, that's the organization's problem. Like, to me, yes, there's people that, okay, might be lazy, but 9 times out of 10, people come to work and want to do a good job. So what support are you putting around them? What are you doing to give them a hand up, not a hand out? And that is missing, and it's got to come from the top down.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, as you would be aware, we have our charitable organization, which is called Talent Rise, and that's all about exactly that. It's the hand, certainly not the handout. It certainly is the hand up, and we really support young people from Indigenous backgrounds and people from drug or alcohol affected backgrounds, or social justice or injustice, should I say, and who've just walked a different life and trod different steps and needed either a first or second opportunity in life. And certainly with the work that's been done in New Zealand, the kind of job readiness to get these young people ready for, you know what, you've got to create some structure, you've got to create some rhythm, you've got to create some discipline just to be able to get up, get yourself to work, and then form part of a working environment. That is that requires investment. It takes courage on the organizational side and also on the individual side, you know. So we completely are walking the talk in that regard. So Vanessa, what are some of the initiatives that are on the agenda or on the horizon for Microsoft specifically around additional diversity and inclusion support around Indigenous people within New Zealand?
I'm so proud that we are launching a new program called 10,000 Digi Wahini. Wahini is Māori for female, where we are going to inspire females to consider roles in tech. We're going to open up all of our Microsoft certifications for free, and we are partnering with different educational institutes. And I just can't wait to see what this is going to do. And that is to inspire the next coder, developer, salesperson, marketer. And we have set ourselves a very bold goal of doing it within 12 months.
Wow.
So watch this space. It doesn't mean that 10,000 will get roles in tech, but imagine even 1,000 new Māori females decide that tech's for them. That to me is a game changer. That's so very, very, very excited.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's an initiative that's homegrown. is what sat behind that? I mean, the aspiration of it is incredible. What is it that kind of made you guys say, you know what, we can do this?
Do you know, Ian, our phenomenal people within our sub. We have got a women in tech pillar and a Māori and Pacifica pillar, and they got together and said, man, we've got to cook something up that's unique to Aotearoa, unique for females and unique for Māori. They came and pitched it to myself and the SLT and said, are you guys up for this? We got incredible Bob, who's our comms guy, behind it. We have now gone out to different institutions and said, are you guys up for this? And it started simply by having the conversation. And now we're going, we're all in. And we're going to monitor and measure the success of this. And I can't wait to talk to you in a year's time to see, and maybe we bring a couple of these wahine onto the podcast and see how it's changed their lives.
Yeah, fantastic. I'll hold you to that as well. Fantastic. That's a fantastic, phenomenal objective, but such an inspirational legacy to be able to do something like that, because you're changing lives, you're changing communities.
Absolutely. And that's, again, going all the way back to my own personal upbringing. I know what it's like to not have a role model or somebody that you go, wow, that's where I want to go. And so I truly feel that it's our platform to provide that, as well as sharing my own story that you can get there. And a lot of it, you know, I remember going through my career and, oh, all you need is a bit more confidence. What does that even mean? I mean, we actually need to feel the tools of learning something new, and we're going to learn until we die. So embrace it. And the fact that Microsoft said, yep, we'll open up our certifications to everybody, was incredible and such a simple idea. And we're like, we're all in.
Wow. Inspirational. It really is. It really is wonderful. Yeah, it's something that is very close to all of our hearts. So I'd like to just close out with kind of Vanessa's magic three, if you will. What would be, for listeners that are in an organization that's big or small, or managing or leading a team, what would be the three takeaways to say, you know what, diversity, equity, and inclusion is important. These are some things that you can do right here, right now, that will move the dial. What would some of those takeaways be for our listeners?
The three things for me: know the data. Like, absolutely, you know, set some goals, set some plans, and know the data. And if you don't, then how are you going to shift any type of dial, to be honest? Take a punt. It's worth it. We're proving it's worth it. Honestly, I wished I had done it sooner. And back to that fear base, you know, once I got into the top job, I'm like, okay, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? Take the punt, you know, be that leader and share stories. Like, become the ally. If you see something that you disagree with, be that person that speaks out. Like, that's what changes culture. Like, honestly, don't put up with it. And we've all been there. You know, I've had it in my own career, you know, the snippets of when I was promoted and she only got the role because they needed, you know, more diversity stats and things. You know, the people that hear that stuff, be the ally and go, that is bullshit. And so I think, you know, for me, it's just walk the talk, make a difference and be the change.
Yeah, wonderful. Vanessa, I want to say a huge, huge thank you for your investment of time in talking to us today. I would love the opportunity to talk to you about a whole range of other things in another time. I really, really appreciate your generosity of time. And hopefully some of our listeners have got some takeaways and insights that they've been able to glean through this conversation, that are just certain things that they can start to think about in their everyday business and also company conversations. Mm-hmm. What I'd also like to say now is, for anybody listening out there, if you've got any other questions, please get in touch with us via the Talent website at www.talentinternational.com, or you can reach out to us on LinkedIn. Vanessa Sorensen, from Microsoft New Zealand, thank you so much. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Kia ora. So have I, Ian. Wonderful meeting you. Thank you for the opportunity. And I hope our podcast is just helping one or two other people to make the change.
Yeah, thank you.